Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, baby.
Hello, my love.
We are back. We are back. Another week, another episode. And, and you know?
You know what that kind of reminds me of is... I'm journaling. When I journal sometimes, I'll look back and I'll read some of my journal entries, and sometimes they're just like, September 10th, 2020, woke up again, another morning. Here we go again.
I've never kept a journal. I've never kept a diary or anything, but, but I have gone back and I've read... So I've written like a number of like op-ed pieces and stuff like that. And I've done, you know, I've done like creative writing, in my time. And I know that when I go back and I read those things, oftentimes I'll have this feeling of like, this is going to sound so vain, but whatever, I'm egotistical maniac. Where I'll read it, I'll go, that was me. I did that? Oh my God, I'm so good with words. Like, I'm so surprised that I wrote it. Do you ever, like, when you're going through your journal, are you ever like shocked at what you're capable of, or like, you know, like, or are you ever like, whoa, that doesn't sound like me. Like, that's a, like, those words don't sound like they were my words.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I definitely feel that. Like, there's stuff sometimes I'll read back on, I'll be like, who wrote that?
Right.
Like, I didn't, like, that, I've never had that thought before.
Right.
And it's really interesting because a lot of the times when I write in my journal, it's like, not out of a sense of duty, but it's out of a sense of like, well, like, I'm usually, it's because I'm like, I'm feeling something and I can't figure it out, so I need to write it out. Or I'm going through something like my dad being sick. I was journaling a lot. Like, I just kind of want to remember the phases of this. Like, I want to be able to look back on this and see what these phases were like.
Right.
And, but a lot of the time, it's just me committed to not knowing what I need to say or whatever, but just keeping my pen at the page. And so sometimes this has been happening a lot in the last few days, especially. I'll just be writing and I'll be like, the sentence, like, there's no end to the sentence. Like, there's, I'm just writing and I'm like, I'm really worried about the, and then I just like blank out and I'm like, I go into a daydream, and when I come back to it, I'm like, what the fuck was I even, what was I writing here? I have no idea.
Right.
It's funny because I wonder how often that happens when I'm in conversation. You know, like when I was coaching new yoga teachers at a point in my life, I would say, like, sometimes you're going to start talking and you don't know what the end of your sentence is going to be until you get there, you know?
Right.
And,
yeah.
And you just kind of have to be open and okay with like the idea that, and trust yourself that you're going to come out with something that says, makes sense.
Right. It's interesting that you're saying that. Like, I feel like, and this is probably, I'm sure our listeners are so fucking tired of hearing us talk about this, but like, I feel like we've been talking about this, you know, quite a bit over the last little bit, but you know, our show has been like evolving over the last 4 years, and it started off as one thing, and now, and it's slowly like becoming this, you know, whatever this.
I'll tell you what it's becoming.
Oh, yeah?
It's becoming an opportunity for me to warm up like my karaoke skills. It's going to eventually just become a karaoke podcast.
Yes, that's what
slowly
I thought.
But surely.
That's what I thought we started this show. anyway, yeah, I feel like that's what this show is. We never really know what the fuck we're going to talk about. And we always just sit down and something comes out. And for some reason, every week, people keep listening. So, hey, for all you listeners out there, we love you and thank you for tuning in. And if you want
to
be
watching... Don't you have anything better to do than to...
Hey, whoa. Don't put any fucking ideas in their heads. If you are... You can watch this, you know. Did you know this, folks? If you are listening to this, you can actually watch Bridie and I have these foreplay segments. Before we throw to our guests, we call them our foreplay segment because it's what we do to get you lubed up and ready for a conversation. And we are recording these and putting them on our Patreon. So if you want to go to patreon.com/termyoung, go check it out. You can see how shitty our home internet connection is right now because, Bridie, you're there, but you just keep freezing. So this is going to be a really shitty version of the video. But hey.
That's weird because you were doing. I'm not breaking up in my video, but you're doing some weird things.
Yeah, I think it's. I think we have too many people on the internet in this house right now. Maybe turn off the internet on your phone if you have it on your phone right now. That would help.
Is that an announcement to the whole house? To everybody who's in the house right now?
No, it's not an announcement to the whole house because I. But you know, whatever. So yeah. Listen. Speaking of the podcast that we have. We've been talking for 6 minutes and we haven't talked about a fucking thing. But we are going to throw to a conversation where we do talk to someone about something. And we are talking to a stripper, or as she likes to put it, a dancer. We talked to Chloe, the host of the UK podcast, Stripper Stories Podcast. And if you want to see a very juicy, very impressive rump, I would say go on over to our Instagram because Chloe submitted a photo for Sunday Bunday, and man, that lady has got back.
Yeah, she sure does. I was like, whoa, first of all, I didn't know who sent it because sometimes I just like I'm scanning through emails and I can see that people have like made submissions. And so I just like click on it and all I can see is a butt, and usually people's faces aren't in them. But then as I could eventually peel my eyes away from her fantastic bottom, I looked up and I was like, oh, I know that girl. And then I remembered. Now, we just talked to her.
Now if we ever see that butt in real life, we'll go, oh, I know that butt. hey, we were supposed to record yesterday, but shit got fucked up and we were both really cranky. And so we didn't. And now we're recording. And I think that you had some stuff that you wanted to kind of cover. And you said that we talked about it yesterday and I don't remember that. So can you fill me in? What did you want to talk about?
Well, we got a brain boner. It's based on a brain boner. So I'll read you the brain boner. It's very short.
Okay.
I recently learned about clit growing on Reddit, and I was wondering if you had an opinion on it. Thanks.
I'm sorry. Did you just say clit growing?
Yes, indeedy.
Clit growing. Have you done some research into this? Well, hold on. I know that maybe I'm so off base here, but I know that I've spoken to some trans folk who have clits and have seen their clits grow through the use of tea, taking mm-hmm. testosterone, and their clits kind of turn into. I actually don't know if this is not kosher to say, but the way I took that information in, I was like, oh, you're like growing your clit into a penis, mm-hmm. or you're growing your clit into like a more longer phallic shape. Yeah. But is that what we're talking about here? Or are we talking about like like someone sitting down and just going and just pushing that thing out?
Well, there are three methods, and that is one of them.
The push out? Oh, geez. I was like, holy fuck, right?
It's like, have you ever tried to do that to your belly button? It's like when sometimes it happens accidentally. Okay.
And you can see my belly button right now if you go to patreon.com/turnmeon.
There it is, guys. There it is, folks. I wonder how similar belly buttons are to buttholes. I mean, I know one is open and one is not, but in terms of like that tissue, that's the belly button. I mean, the belly button must be mostly scarring tissue, right? Because you literally had a whole other body chopped off of your body.
And my belly button's really unique and cool and fun because I have a question mark scar that goes from the top around and down because that's where they took out 75% of my colon and threw it in the garbage.
And then we're like, is this a belly button? I don't know. Let's put a question mark on it. All right. Well, that is one. That's one way of doing it. So one of the most common methods are I'm reading this right from Wikipedia, but is the systemic use of testosterone for an extended time.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. For trans folks, that is, you know, if you are looking to enlarge your clitoris, then or your clitoris, then that is one way you can do it.
What is the proper pronunciation there of clitoris? Is it clitoris or clitoris?
Great question. I have no idea.
I changed my Siri to an Indian male sound.
Okay.
And he pronounces things very differently from the other Siri. Let's see I bet you he won't even say it. Siri, can you say clitoris? Nah, literally, he just... What a prude. Siri's such a prude.
He's just like, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. He's still waking up to
let me try this.
Classical music.
Alexa, how do you pronounce clitoris?
I pronounce that clitoris, but I'm always working on how I say things and I might not have it right.
Aw.
Well, you're doing so good, Alexa. Thank you.
Lots of self-work happening there.
All right, I digress.
Another method is the use of a pump.
Whoa.
So, you know, first of all, when I first got this brain boner and I Googled clit growing because I had an idea of what that was, obviously, but I didn't know anything about it. And I think the most fun thing about being asked a question like that are the like many, many rabbit holes you can go down in terms of like, oh my God, like this links to this. Okay. Right. So I went to the Reddit thread that she was talking about. I don't understand Reddit, but I think they're called threads. I went to the thread and there's lots of very close up images of clitori, one clitoris at a time inside of a pump. And they do like look like they can get, I know, you know, we all start out with them at different sizes anyway, but it does, they do look quite like they are getting quite long.
Whoa. Yeah. Look at these big old clits. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. Whoa. That's a really big clit. Whoa. Mm-hmm. This is so interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow. I'm gonna see what I can do here on the video. Yeah. And continue, Bride.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The first time I looked at these photos, I was like, oh, I was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable just because the sensation I can imagine. It might feel really nice, but I also feel like, I don't know, there must be a certain amount. Like, I think about women or people who need to, like, pump, like, breast milk, let's say.
Right.
And how, like, I've seen how you know, I grew up with a stepmom who breastfed my four younger sisters. I saw it all. And, like,
whoa,
that looks like it would fucking get a little bit uncomfortable after a while.
You mean the pump? Like, the pumping?
Yeah. 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 And just, like, the impact on, like, the nipples.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah. Man, this is, this is really, I'm going down a rabbit hole here.
So what I've learned from Wikipedia is that, like, I haven't actually talked to anybody who's done this before, is that it looks like all the current methods that are possible do present a certain risk. There's always, you know, if you're wanting to grow your clit for reasons, you know,
right,
for reasons that are, I don't know, aesthetic or, you know, pleasure, right, or fetish or whatever, you just need to know that, like, if you're doing it, let's say if you're like, I'm going to do this and I think the best method is taking testosterone, there will be other physical changes that result in that may not be the desired change that you're looking for.
Right.
So then in that case, you're probably going to use something more like a pump. And, so evidence, it says, proving its effectiveness. I'm sure, like, for a lot of things, like, you know, lipstick that plumps your lips, or like penis enlargement pumps, which we've seen on the internet for fucking ever, are probably temporary. Like, the effects are probably temporary, and then it shrinks back down to its ordinary size, or maybe, like, slightly stretched out, but the tissues around there are pretty delicate and filled with blood vessels, and so you can damage those things. So you kind of have to take a look at the risks and decide whether it's worth your reason for wanting to do that.
Right.
I
brought up a photo here. And I accidentally exploded it, like, full screen. So if you're watching, I'm sorry for not giving you any forewarning of this gigantic clip being sucked up into a pump. Again, if you want to watch it, patreon.com/turnmeon.
Did you put it up on the screen?
I did. And you know what? I have a feeling that this won't fly on Patreon. You know what? We'll just, if we get flagged, we'll get flagged. You know, I'm going to take it down now. So
it's I didn't see it happen, so I don't know long it was up.
It was up for a bit, and it was really, I was taken aback, and I was the one who put it up. So, it's real. So I guess, like, this would be something that people with clitorises could potentially do, not just for transitioning, but, like, it's also like a, it's like potentially a pleasure thing, or like a sort of fetishized sort of experience.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It can be. Yep.
Wow. And the person who wrote in that brain boner, like, they were just like, hey, like, tell me about clit growing, or were they like, I've been growing? They didn't say anything about growing their own clit, did they?
No, they just said they wanted our opinion.
Well, let me put this out here to all of our beautiful, lovely, wonderful listeners. If you are someone who, whether you're someone who has gone through purposely growing a clit for transitional purposes, or growing, or clit growing for any other reason, drop us a line. Shoot us an email, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com. You don't necessarily have to come on the show, but fuck, we would love to have you. But in the very least, just write to us and let us know what your experience was with that. And we would love to hear your story. We don't even necessarily need to read it on the show. If you want to remain anonymous or not even have it read, I'm just endlessly curious. It's so interesting.
Well, yeah, I agree. And you know what? It's only given me more questions, because one of the other methods is is a saline injection.
Whoa.
And so when I Googled that, a saline injection for clit growing, I see a whole bunch of results about the O shot, the orgasm shot.
Okay.
And I have no idea where this is going to take us, but in just in terms, so there are other reasons you would take a saline injection, not in the clitoris or clitoris, but there's other, this orgasm shot is I guess reputed to be a treatment for clit owners, for helping them feel more sensation or arousal. Okay. I'm going to read this to you.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
How does the O shot work? First, the patient's blood is drawn, about half a tablespoon, and placed in a centrifuge to separate out the PRP. Do you know what that means?
PRP? No, I don't. Plasma? I don't know. PRP in blood?
Okay. To determine where an injection will have...
You can keep reading. I'll look that up.
Yeah, to separate out the PRP.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was right. It's platelet-rich plasma. I was right. Look at that. Man, I'm telling you, 5 years of a podcast about health, I think I've learned a thing or two.
Okay, so this says, to determine where an injection will have maximum results, the doctor does vaginal mapping, asking the patient where they're most sensitive, and then an anesthetic cream is applied to the area. Okay. The procedure costs $1,200 to $1,500 and isn't covered by insurance, blah, blah, blah. Has the added benefit of creating what's referred to as an immediate volumizing effect, which lasts up to a week.
Okay.
The real payoff, though, comes over the next few months as the PRP stimulates the stem cells, collagen, and blood vessels, says another doctor, who calls it fertilizer to grow the tissue. Okay. Now, that sounds interesting. I mean, people are obviously they're treating themselves for lack of orgasms. Like that's the thing.
Okay.
I imagine, or maybe more, I don't know, like more extravagant orgasms, deeper orgasms. I'm not sure, but there are testimonials of people who say that it does help. It does help helping to get increased sensitivity in the clitoris.
Interesting. Yeah. Hey, have you ever, this reminds me, and I don't know if you want to go down this lane or not, but this reminds me of, do you know anyone that has ever had their clit pierced?
I'm sure I do, but I don't know who they are.
Right. Sure. Okay. Is that something do you think that, cause I know that you and I both had our nipples pierced. Do you think in a different life you would have ever gotten your clit pierced? I'm imagining that you wouldn't get your clit pierced now, but like, have you ever thought about getting your clit pierced?
Oh yeah, totally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I would say the most recent time I had thought not my clit, but maybe the hood.
Right. Yeah, because so I didn't know this, but there are several different types of clit piercings. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different types. There's the glands. A clitoral glands piercing is the only version that pierces the actual clitoris, generally through the clitoral head if it's a vertical piercing, or its midpoint if it's horizontal. The VCH, the vertical clitoral hood piercing, wins in the popularity contest among clit decor. It pierces vertically through a thin section of the hood's peak. This is all coming from healthline.com. HCH, the horizontal clit hood piercing. So that's same as VCH, except it's going horizontal. The triangle piercing goes horizontally through the base of the hood and underneath the shaft of the clitoris, according to one of the early performers of the procedure, Elaine Angel, author of Piercing Bible. So it sounds like that one's kind of like a little more rare. It looks good. The photo of it looks wild.
What's it called? The triangle.
The triangle. Yeah. The Princess Diana, Princess Diana piercings, according to Angel, who named the concept, are usually performed in pairs and may be an addition to a VCH. They're essentially VCH piercings, but done off to the sides. If you have a VCH, you might flank it with PDs, for example. Princess Diana's PDs. And then the final one is called the Christina. I like the name of that one. The Christina, also called a Venus, isn't actually a clitoral glands or hood piercing, but it's often brought up as an alternative. One insertion point goes through the very front of the vulva, called the cleft of Venus. The piercing then extends through a small portion of the mons pubis, where it emerges. Whoa, yeah, this one's so wild. Okay, so for the folks at... I can't do it. For the folks at home, if you Google Healthline clitoris piercings, you'll get a Pinterest photo that you can look at, and it's got all the little designs of these piercings. It's so interesting.
Well, now I'm fucking down the rabbit hole of the history of genital piercings, because that seems
I thought about getting my dick pierced several times, because I knew a guy in high school. I'll leave his name out, but he's a really lovely human, very fascinating individual. He was very fun to hang out with. He had a big fascination with reptiles and stuff. He always had reptiles. He liked pet frogs, lizards, snakes. Hanging out at his house was the coolest. But one day I was driving down Sackville Drive, this like main strip in my neighborhood, the town I grew up in, and I see him. We'll say his name was Corey. So I'm driving, and I see Corey, and I put the window down, and I go, "Hey, Corey." And he runs up, he goes, "Hey, dude, check it out." And he just whips out his dick, and he got his frenulum pierced. And I was like, "Oh my God." And we were in high school. And I thought, "Wow, you are one of the coolest individuals." Not cool because you got your dick pierced, but just cool because he was just living his own life. He didn't give a fuck what anybody thought. So anyway, I think I looked up to him when he showed me his penis that day. I really looked up to him, and I think maybe I romanticized the idea of going, "Yeah, live your fucking life, do what you want." But I'm a little too scared, I think, to get my penis pierced. Although we did talk about once the Jacob's ladder, which is basically from your frenulum and then several piercings all the way down the bottom of your shaft, and totally not if I would listen to way more Tool growing up, maybe that would be my thing. But I didn't. I was more of a Radiohead guy. So I don't think the Jacob's Ladder is for me. But every time I see a photo of a Jacob's Ladder, I'm always like, "God damn, that's fucking cool."
Well, yeah, I'm down this rabbit hole again, like I said, of the history of it. And I found this one line that I find really funny. Piercing the genitals became a short-lived trend at the end of the 19th century, in particular for upper classes of the society. It was during the Victorian era.
At the end of the 19th, so that's the 1800s, right? That would be 1890? People were getting their junk pierced way back then?
Okay, people were getting their junk pierced even way, 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 way before that. But this is just a really funny little piece.
Sure, of course.
So, okay. Because it's in particular for the upper classes of society. And so it says, it was during the Victorian era, that the practice of body piercing in the Western world reemerged. Many men and women of the Victorian royalty chose to receive nipple and genital piercings.
Wild. Yeah, that's super interesting. I wonder how many queens... Well, I mean, why is that called the princess? It was called the Princess Diana,
Princess
right?
Diana.
Why is it probably
because she had it.
No. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first. Turn Me On has just broke the news. Princess Diana had her vagina pierced. Wow.
Yeah, probably not her vagina. We should probably use at least, correct anatomical, unless that was
sure,
a vagina.
Right, sorry. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not an internal yeah, yeah, piercing, right? Right? No, it was
No, yeah, you were right. It's the Princess Diana. Well, the Princess Diana, it looks like the vulva. Like, it looks like the inside. Like, it looks like the outer labia in this photo. But I can't like quite tell.
It's funny when you type in Princess Diana and you let Google complete. It's like, obviously, death, wedding, beanie baby price.
I'm gonna bring this up on the stream here.
Okay, great.
But Bridie, if you Google clit piercings earrings, okay, and
okay.
the first image, it should say clitoris piercings 15 FAQs on the type. Like that's. So let me know if you find that, if you see that. But I'm gonna bring it up on the stream so people can see.
Clitoris earrings?
Yeah, that was like the automatic.
15 FAQs?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. So it looks like a little animation, right? Do you see that?
Copy.
Like little animated vaginas.
Yeah, I'm at it. Yeah. I like this.
So the Princess Diana. Yeah. Does that
well,
not
the
look?
HCH
the, yeah, it's
kind of
cute, eh? Yeah. So the Princess Diana, that kind of looks like the outer labia, right?
I would say.
Because this photo, the way that this photo is, there is no such thing as an outer labia. Right, I see what you mean.
I don't think so.
Yeah, these animations. So interesting. Look at the triangle, though, eh?
Check it looks
kind of crazy. Yeah.
The triangle is fine, but I think the HCH looks even cooler.
Well, you know, Brad, you're 36. You're you've got lots of life ahead of you. You can do what you want. You know, live your fucking life. You want to get that hood pierced up.
I literally say go for it. So many other things I need to think about than body modification right now. Like I am just, you know, there was a time when I was very absorbed with like. Once I took my nipple rings out, my nose ring was gone, my belly button ring was gone. I was like, I think I'm done.
You're over it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting a full back piece in November, and that's going to be a lot. So
I wonder what osteopaths would have to say about genital piercings, because I know that there are some feelings about what piercings and tattoos. And any body modification I can imagine does to the connective tissue, how the rest of the connective tissue in your body responds to it. Yeah.
Yeah. My osteopath, Dina, who's been my osteo over the years, she was really annoyed that I had my belly button pierced and both my nipples pierced and my nose pierced and my ears pierced. Like she was just like, and it was all about scar tissue and all about things pulling on other things. And I've got a fucked up back and it's, you know, my lungs are this and yada, yada. So yeah, it's true. I mean, I wonder, I don't know enough about that, about like how it could affect your, how it's going to affect your junk, but.
I might find out soon. Did I tell you I'm thinking about going back to school?
Yeah, we should get it. You were thinking about doing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking about going back to school so I can start touching people's bodies in healthy ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you don't have to go to school to do that. You can just get out there and
free hugs.
Yeah, give consensual hugs, consensual hand jobs, like all those things. That's just healthy ways of touching people.
Yeah.
Speaking of consensual hugs and hand jobs, which has nothing to do with our upcoming guest. Although I'm sure that they've given a few, we spoke with Chloe from Stripper Stories podcast. She is a lovely woman straight out of the UK. And, I totally, totally had a crush on her while we were talking with her. And I think you will too. And I think we should throw right into our conversation with Chloe, the dancer. If you enjoy this episode, well, great. We have more to come over the years. So again, if you want to watch, this foreplay, go to patreon.com/turnmeon. Who knows? Our Patreon might get shut down after this one, after I put that gigantic clit getting sucked out of a body.
This is why it's impossible to get small business loans, for our business.
Oh, we're fucked. So enjoy this episode, and I guess we'll see you all on the other side.
Welcome to the studio, Chloe. It's really nice to have you here virtually with us.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm a big fan of the podcast, so I'm happy to be here today.
I love that we're calling this a studio. Welcome to our studio, which is pretty much the same as Zoom.
It's a good one, though. I've never used this before. This is like, I'm learning a lot. Great.
It certainly has opened up a lot of possibilities for us as a podcast to be able to talk to guests from places outside of Nova Scotia or wherever we happen to be traveling. And it was really neat to hear from you, another podcaster in England. Can you tell us a little bit about your podcast and what it's about?
Yeah, for sure. Like we've only been going, I said this to you earlier, I have only been going for about 2 months now. So a little baby podcast. It's called Stripper Stories. And I just started it because a couple of my friends are like, you just always waffle on about stuff that happens to you at work through all the jobs you've done in the sex industry and all the customers and people you meet. So I thought I'd just vent it out on a microphone. It's a little bit like therapeutic for me. And I get to meet some cool people like you guys. It's kind of just a funny, lighthearted podcast that has kind of like undertones of like things that are more serious to do with like the sex industry and being a woman and how things are changing through COVID, pre-COVID, and post-COVID. So, it's interesting for me, but I'm enjoying it.
For a bit of context to our listeners, can you lay out a little bit of your background, your history?
Yeah, for sure. I was a dancer, so like a stripper, I guess, in London for like 8 years.
Is that what they call them in London? Strippers?
Dancer. We're a bit more dancer. Dancer. But yeah, dancer. Little dancer, but little around dancer. A pole. I did that for a while. That was just to pay for my education. I went to like a private acting school that had, you know, no scholarship, so I wanted to pay that off, and I thought, what better thing to do than to use my dancing skills and swing around a pole. So I did that for about 8 years, and then I became a dominatrix through that job. So then I was like a walker, a girlfriend experience walker. Then I'd go and work in dungeons like on my days off, and then now I have a baby podcast, and I work on Adult Work, which is a cam site, which is something that I've had to like learn to do through COVID, because obviously the clubs are closed. So yeah, my job's kind of changed. I do miss swinging around the pole and keeping active. I've had to buy one for my house, which has been, and a microphone. So these two new things I'm kind of into. But yeah, so I've worked in the industry for a long time. There's not much I haven't tried apart from escorting, which for me personally wasn't something that was like the place where I stopped, you know. But I have a lot of friends who work in that type of, you know, area of the industry. So pretty much done everything, I guess, in regards to like that side of things. But yeah. And so now I'm doing a podcast. It's scary.
I love that you have such an extensive background in all of these different areas. Did you say a walker?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, what's that?
It's weird. It's like an escort, I guess, but they don't sleep with the customer. So they just go out as a arm candy, I guess, to older gentleman or just an older woman, a younger woman. It could be any type of person, really. But you just kind of go for dinner and go to events and get kind of like a little bit pretty woman-esque, but without the bathtub scene. Kind of like
right,
that.
Sure, sure. Do you, in those, I feel like this is the dumbest question of all time, but anytime I always think about that kind of scenario, if I was putting myself in it, I always think to myself, would I come up with a backstory for my date tonight in case, you know, like my boss, I run into my boss and he sees, you know, like was like setting up stories to kind of like give you a bit of, like, I don't know, to make it more clandestine or like make it more James. I'm just picturing James Bond.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, a lot of the girls pick areas of London where you would never run into anyone you'd know. Like, so parts of like Mayfair or like small, like home housey clubs where it's just members only. So you'd kind of know you'd say you were safe, I guess. But talking of that, there are horror stories, and it has happened to lots of girls where they've been discovered. And yeah, it's just waffling on or talking through it. Oh, this is my uncle. Oh, this is Uncle Sam from out of town. Yeah. And, you know, it all goes just absolute tits up. But I guess the whole job is acting anyway, most of it anyway. It is enjoyable to a point, but you do get used to saying, you know, you never give your full backstory really to these people. Sure. It is a job at the end of the day. They're not your friends. They become friends over time, but you have to be careful still.
Turn Me On Podcast will be back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Have you had clients that, like you said, like one job sort of led into the next and so on? Like, have you, over the many years that you've been involved, have you like had many long-term clients that have kind of been with you for a while?
Yeah, I actually had one long-term guy who I met through dancing, and he was very interested in the submissive side of things, because he was a very complicated, one of those high class bankers who's very controlled of his everyday life, and he wanted to like lose control in his more private life, I would guess. So I was with him for about 4.5-5 years, and he had numerous things like prostate cancer, so he couldn't get it up. So he'd only want to have to deal with, I know he loved trans women, for instance. So I would like go and meet these wonderful trans women, and we have like these parties, and it would go on for about 4.5-5 years, me and him hanging out. But I was like kind of like his assistant to sluttery, I guess. I would find the party, find the people, find the, you know. And he had a wife and a kid, in a kind of, you know, standard typical scenario, loveless marriage, you know, and wanted to like live his life. He had a pacemaker, he wasn't well, so he wanted to like do everything before he did pass away like last year. But yeah, that was an experience, and it like taught me a lot. That was the last sugar daddy, I guess, that I had, and that will be the last one, because it was intense. And he became my friend, you know. He was someone I kind of like really cared for, and it was like a massive loss when he like passed away. But yeah, so he was the longest, I think.
Is that what you mean by intense? Like that you would never do it again because of like the deep connection that you quite possibly could create, and it just like makes it a little bit too much to kind of handle all that, like the professional side of it mixed with like the where's the line sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, maybe kind of. But my life's changed now where, you know, I was single then, so I didn't feel like I was like... Now I'm like dating someone more seriously. It would be difficult because he's not really into that type of thing. I have to be more respectful on that side of things. That's probably why I wouldn't do have that situation again for me personally. Right. But, you know, like anything, if you see someone twice a week for 4 years, it's going to be very difficult to like keep a game face on all the time. And he was super sweet and he never treated me with any type of disrespect. He always... you know, it's like the basic things, always paid me on time. It was like a great job. You know, it was one of those, you know, I guess more successful stories when it comes to the sugar daddy relationship, which probably would have carried on if he hadn't like died. I actually quite like the fact that we were close and it was, my housemate, I was saying this earlier to Bridie, like she's got a sugar daddy now and it's not the same. And she felt comfortable to get a sugar daddy because of all the great things I said about the guy I had. So, you know, it's nice to like spread the word that it is not all doom and gloom if you do have these relationships with people. But personally for me, right now, my lifestyle wouldn't accommodate it, I wouldn't say. But I would do it if I was single again. Who knows? You know, it was cool.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm super curious about, so when you contacted us, you were talking about the Bella Thorne scandal, and that was something that I was seeing. Right. I don't know a ton about, but I saw a lot of it in my social media because we have a lot of friends that are sex workers, and it was, I honestly didn't dig too deeply because we were going through our own stuff with losing our dog and everything, but I am really curious about what that is, first of all, and what happened there, and then to dig in a little further about sex work as portrayed by the media and celebrities and in film and television over the last little bit, because it seems like lots of people are talking about it, and I wouldn't be surprised if, like, talking about it in terms of sex work in general as like a viable way to make some money and to like to have a job, but also like. I'm curious about how it becoming more mainstream has affected the people who have been doing this like for a long time.
Yeah, it definitely is affecting them in a, I'd like to think some positive way, but it just seems at the moment with all the media like interest in this is it's just negativity, which is kind of sad. It kind of started off with, well, not started off, but a few major celebrities getting this OnlyFans account. And you guys probably know what that is. Everyone kind of knows what it is. It's kind of like, in basic terms, the not fit for work Instagram account, which you can then subscribe. It's like a subscription-based platform. And you can charge whatever you like on it and kind of give as much side boob, nipple, or whatever you want in it.
It's kind of like Patreon for sex workers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah exactly. Okay. But people have been doing it for a long while now, and it's only because of the kind of sex work gentrification that's happening that Bella Thorne, people like Cardi B, actually, she was an ex-dancer, stripper. Mm. But she never really overcomplicates it. She never under-delivers what she's talking about. She never says that she's going to give any WAP on the OnlyFans. She's like, no, you're not going to see my tits. You're not going to see this. You're not. So don't subscribe if that's what you want to see. Whereas like Bella Thorne, I think, overpromised and under-delivered, and that's where the problem started. I think she made $1 million in a day, and then it came to $2 million in a week. And this was over subscription of dudes expecting, because Bella Thorne was never really, I mean, she went from Disney princess to, you know, being this really outwardly feminist, like, you know, you are who you are. And her Instagram was always like very positive towards anything sexual. So everyone thought, oh yeah, maybe this is her next step. Maybe she's going to start showing us a bit more of like her real self without the judgment. That's kind of how she described it. But yeah, it was just over-promising and under-delivering, and then people started asking for their money back, which was a big problem for the platform in general.
Yeah.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, but after that whole scandal where everyone was demanding, like, oh well, we got fucking screwed, we want our money back, because we were expecting to see Bella Thorne like doing whatever. Bella Thorne gone wild. This is not wild enough. I want my money back right now.
And so
because there was so much money demanded back, OnlyFans, I believe, like, they ended up putting like a ceiling or a limit on the amount at which a user of the platform can charge for their content.
Yeah.
So whereas before, like, that number was much higher, and then they also changed the like the payment dates. So it was like, instead of getting paid every 2 weeks, like, you're only going to get a one time payment once a month.
Yeah, but just in case they get chargebacks and they need to like refund it.
Right.
Which is,
right.
Yeah.
And so that takes all these people who have been doing this for so long and like have this, you know, this is my job and this is the way my job is laid out. And this is the, you know, this is the system that I use to get paid. And this is how much I charge. All of those things were kind of like flipped upside down, and everything was limited and different. And the people that had been, you know, using this platform for quite a while were like, what the fuck, Bella?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
What the fuck, OnlyFans?
Yeah, nailed it. It's a big problem. And I think I was explaining to someone else the other day, I was like, well, you know, it could be seen as it's just a girl, like any other girl in the strip club. You know, we're all lining up there all for the same amount of money. And you think, well, screw you. I'm prettier than you, or I've got more whatever else that day. I'm going to step on my friends' faces for more money, which is, at the end of the day, the sex industry, you know, everybody's in it for money, really, ultimately, right?
Yeah, it's a job.
Yeah, it's a job like anything else. So kind of Bella Thorne did that very publicly. I've got a bigger platform than you guys. I've got, you know, hairstylists and a team of people sending, you know, able to take all these beautiful photos of me, and people are going to come and pay this amount of money for me. So screw the rest of you. I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to make my money and run, which is basically what she's done. Yeah.
Do you think, like, I totally get this, you know, like when I read the article about the scandal that happened, and seeing like, and actually there's quite a number of sex workers that I follow on Instagram that we've had on the show or through the show in some way. And they're all, I'm reading that they're all really, really pissed off and annoyed about this as well. And I get it. I fully get that. But there's this other part of me that's, you know, and because I am removed from it, I think it's a lot easier for me to kind of step back and look at what's happening and go, that does suck. But I do wonder if the more this is becoming closer to the mainstream, the more like positive things that could inherently come from that. For example, like laws changing surrounding, you know, sex worker laws and stuff like that. Sex worker like rights and like, you know, I don't know if unions are like the way to go, but like, you know, those types of things where like you say that now and it's like, that's a fucking absurd idea. That doesn't exist like anywhere. What are you talking about? But how beneficial and how helpful that would be for so many people in the industry. And so, you know, seeing this thing where it's like OnlyFans, like, I'm sure my mom knows what OnlyFans is, you know, like it's a household name.
Yeah.
I think
because of a perfect storm of many different things. You know, it's like COVID likely had played a big part in that, because OnlyFans subscriptions over like before COVID and then into COVID just started to skyrocket from what I could tell.
Same and with then, porn as well. Porn.
Yeah.
Everything's just on, like, the premium of like Pornhub was like free for a bit. Everyone was like, what?
Yes. Yeah.
I get to like watch this mental porn that was used to be like X amount of money per month. Mm-hmm. And the same with OnlyFans. It's like people are doing deals on their OnlyFans, and there's a lot more girls who are, you know, girl next doors who would never not normally do OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Like doing it. And that's a massive turn on for loads of like girls and guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you know, like Gemma next door's now doing it. Oh, now I can see her, you know, not through her windows. I can see her actually on OnlyFans with her tits out. And it's like, you know, and people would pay for that. And it's like, you know, me starting a podcast, I would never have done that before. I wouldn't have had time. Whereas like loads of people are just using, using different outlets for like making money or keeping themselves occupied.
But yeah. Meanwhile, that's happening. Beyonce starts singing about it in her songs.
Yeah, you know, I was literally about to say that.
It's one thing after the other that really just like takes OnlyFans and lifts it onto this like this household name type pedestal where everyone knows ish what it is if they don't know fully, right?
Yeah.
And so to that end, do you think that although it's bullshit, what is currently happening? Do you think that there's room? Do you think that this could be a net positive?
I hope so. But people have been talking about sex workers' rights and, you know, like the fact that in the clubs, we would just get fired on no notice with no pay, no nothing. And we have got strippers collectives over here. And there's also the Berlin Strippers Collective where they do have pots of money and help, or they can always help girls get other types of jobs or do foot worship or come and sub stuff in the dungeons, or like girls will help each other out. But I hope from this, because you know it's becoming much more like Hollywood glamorous to be associated with the underground slut world, you know, even with the Hustlers movie with Jennifer Lopez, and then she's there on Swinging on a Pole in the middle of the halftime show. I'm like, very British. Very British. Oh, yes, that halftime show. No, but she's there on a pole. And I'm like, what? Like, before, like, anyone being on a pole of any kind, even swinging around a lamppost on your night out, people will be like, oh, slut. Or, oh, God. But now she's doing it on such a public platform. It's. I hope that good comes from it. I'm yet to see it, you know?
Fingers crossed
when the clubs open, maybe people will come in droves. I don't see it happening though, for some reason. I don't know. I just don't. But
yeah. I can imagine like lap dances and things like that. I'm just listening to the radio talking about kids going back to school, and then I'm thinking about like other things that have always been so like, I'm like, when can I go back to the gym or the yoga studio or the pool or whatever? And then you're just getting into a capacity issues and whether this business can sustain itself through, you know, the club, the strip club, or the whatever it might be. Like, how I feel like we're only in the beginning of realizing how much change is going to be caused.
Yeah.
In all of our industries, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's another thing. I'm talking about like, oh, woe is the sex industry, but like, oh, woe is every industry at the moment. So, people can't get jobs in the most, you know, like strictly like, it was, you know, there's loads of jobs in the city, in London, for instance. People didn't have trouble getting job, but they're even struggling now. So we'll see how that turns out. I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe mid next year now, I think. Maybe next summer, but
yeah, fingers crossed sooner rather than later.
Do you guys miss strip clubs? Do you? I mean, I don't know.
We don't even have a strip club in Halifax.
What?
Yeah, no. So Ralph's, there was a strip club called Ralph's, and it was around for like quite a while, but it shut down maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and we don't have one.
That's like a shame.
I think the closest place you got to go over to New Brunswick. I think
is there one in New Brunswick? There's not one in Prince Edward Island.
Oh, there's got to be a strip club in Moncton.
I mean, maybe privately. Maybe like the bootleggers, but for dancers.
Yeah. Can you drink? For dancing. Can you drink in your strip clubs?
No, Canada's a completely dry country.
No, stop it.
No, because in America, in some places, or like in any places I've been around the world, sometimes they're like, nope, no drinking, no phones, no drinking, just no fun.
Yeah, no drinking in a strip club. I thought that was like the business model of strip clubs.
Right?
You come in,
and
they charge. You have to drink a certain minimum, and it's well. Whenever I went to strip clubs, I was going in as horrible thing to say, but I always went in with no money. I was like, I shouldn't even be here.
Oh no, you're just one of those people.
I'm one of those fucking knobheads. Although, you know what? One time I did splurge because I won money in Vegas. And then we were like, hey, let's use this.
Yeah.
Wisely.
That's good. We always used to like spot those people who'd been into the casinos. They got yeah. these little purple little pouches and be like, yeah. he's all looking at his shoes. yeah. But yeah, you were that guy for a night. Good. Bet yeah. the women were like, yeah.
Yeah, one night. And actually, it was a very different experience.
yeah, I bet.
yeah, it sure was.
a handful of years ago when you were leaving acting school and you were like, I got to pay my student loans or whatever. I got to pay for school. Was there like when that idea came to mind of like getting into this industry, did it surprise you or were you just like, this is a totally viable option?
Honestly, it wasn't my idea. That's the worst thing about it. It was a boyfriend of mine. Oh. Yeah, he was like, he was a piano player and I worked at a bar, just like standard every student. And it was a bit of a pervy piano bar and he'd sit there, my boyfriend at the time, play the piano, like sultry tunes. And then he'd see these like perverts, whatever they were, but men handing me their number over the bar. And I'd be like, oh, thank you. He'd be like, wouldn't you just try and like do that on a bigger scale and go and like dance in a strip club? And I was like, what are you talking about? You won't want me to do that. And it took me a couple of months and we had a massive argument and I was just like, fuck him, I'm gonna go down to London and audition, and got my job the same day and I stayed and I worked and that was the end. Here I am now 10 years later. But yeah, it was actually a really, I mean, I came out with like £300, which back then was like the most money a student had ever made. And then I went back every single night after that, and yeah, just never looked back. So it was his fault, really.
Asshole. I love that. I moved to London when I was 18. So my mom had lived there for most of my life, and I moved there with my boyfriend when I was 18. And it was the same thing. We were looking for jobs, and I was like, maybe I'd be interested. Like, I'd always kind of been interested in like checking out what it would be like to be a walker or a stripper and so a dancer. So I remember calling one place and them telling me what I would need to bring for my audition, and they were like, stilettos, a G-string, etc., and like how and something to like change from into my G-string. And I was like, I think this is about as far as I can go with this. I can't imagine being like even remotely graceful in any kind of audition, let alone having to wear stilettos in there. And then I don't even think at 18 I knew what a G-string was. I was very
small. And they're not flattering either. Like, if you get a G-string that's too big for you, it ends up looking like some sort of sumo wrestler wedgie. And it's just, you need to pick the right one. It just even goes down to that deep. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing when I auditioned either. I think I'd shotted like some old man's port around the corner, like, quick, get better, get a bit drunk. And I'll look at a few YouTube videos about how to be a stripper. But yeah, it was quite liberating. I never thought I'd get the job, but I think anyone can do it, though. I mean, you do see these girls who, whether they're 18 or they're like 25, you know, it depends on like your sexual, I guess, maturity. Is that the right word? But sure. How much you've been exposed to as a person anyway. But it doesn't matter what age you are. You can come in at 18 and be this really sexually confident woman and swing around the pole like no one's business. And then, you know, 35, you could be, you know, super bow-legged Bambi walking across the room. So like, I've seen it all, and it changes people. Like, you'll go in one way and like it's like a conveyor belt and you'll come out like kinky boots. It's like proper crazy. But yeah, like it was really good for my like sexual confidence, my confidence in general, I think. And I can just imagine what I looked like when I first started. It would not have been a pretty sight. Full on G-string, like up to here. But yeah, no, it was good. It was one of those jobs I'm like kind of glad that even if I didn't like it, it would have been cool to just try, you know. My sisters have tried it and they're both younger than me. And I'm like, go and dance for a day or two and they'll get drunk and then just turn up at a strip club and work the same night. And then they'll ring me the next day like, I made 75 quid last night. I was like, how? Oh, because I just went and danced in a strip club for a bit. I was like, great. Girl after my own heart, like my little sister, you know. Maybe it's more of a thing in London, I don't know.
I would totally encourage my younger sisters to do some stuff like that, for sure. They would be horrified.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think my sister would now at this point.
Well,
she could.
She could. She could if she wanted to. Yeah. She sure could. When you first got the job, Chloe, were you like, you know, like you went down to London for that audition? Did you, like, the first day of the job? Were you? Because the first day of any job is always like, ooh, it's the first day of the big new job. Like, I don't want
to. I hope people are nice to me.
Yeah, people are nice to me. Yeah. I feel like the first day on the job as a sex worker, having never done it before, is like that times 10. Because it's like, whoa, this is something that is outside of the, you know, what society has like laid out for me to be within the norm, you know?
Yeah.
What was that experience like of your first day at work?
Oh my God, I'll never forget it. Like, I always say this to my friends. I'm like, I remember the first guy I danced for and how he looked at me. And he was like, it was like proper squeaky bum time. I was like, oh God, what do I do? And he's like, it was this really small man. And I was wearing this long velvet dress. It was just like the typical stereotype. It was just awful with these big dangly earrings. It was just proper bait. And I was like, this is my first time. And then it was like, you want it, let's do it. The pony song came on,
yeah,
and I was like,
ride
really?
My pony.
I was like, yeah. Oh my God, this is so like typical. Like, could I not have had a cool freaking song? Anyway, I was like, it's my first time. He was like, I bet you say that to all the men. I'm like, no, but seriously, it's my first time. Like, watch out. I'm going to kick you in the face. Like, my legs are all over the place. It was horrendous. I think it was horrendous. You just kind of watch the girls in like the other booths through like this little net curtain and you just kind of copy. It's like very strange. Like, right, all the dogs, sure. Up dogs. This is the worst thing I've ever said, but like peeing on the lamppost and they're all, everybody's doing the same pee on the, and they're all like, all right, now you turn around and you do this and then you turn around and you flip your hair and it's, everyone just does like the similar kind of dance when you're new. But yeah. I was nervous. I would say that. Yeah. And I remember after I got off my audition, there was like, I think about 25 girls were watching me and like they watch you with these like big black hole of eyes. And they're like, oh, who's this new girl coming to steal our money? And they all clapped. And I was like, what? I was like, this is nice. I'll stay at this club, I think. And they were all like, woo, yeah. Like, I don't know whether they were just taking the piss or not, but I actually genuinely felt really comfortable after that. So it was a good experience overall, like, I think, for my first night. But I've seen some horrific things happen to some girls. But for me, it was good. I was nervous, though.
Go ahead, Brad.
I had a similar question because I was reflecting the other day. You know, I've been teaching yoga for like 15 years. And I was like, at this point, I can walk into any yoga studio and feel at home. Like, I don't, like, I know that walking in to the studio for the first time for a lot of people is really scary and they don't know if they have the right clothes on or the right props or where to go or whether they're allowed to talk or ask questions. Anyway, there's all those unknowns. And I feel like at this point, I feel like I could make myself at home in pretty much any yoga studio. How was there a point in your career to date where you're like, yeah, because I would have been terrified of those girls that applauded for you. I was petrified.
No, I feel you. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have no idea how to, because I don't do yoga, but my friends do. And like, so I see them all coming home with all their equipment and I'm like, I would be all the gear, no idea. Like I would be like, what do I wear? Am I allowed to sweat? Like, yeah, exactly. And I have no flexibility anymore because COVID has done this to me. So I would have no idea. I would be nervous. But yeah, I think that with any new job, like you said, you are nervous. And those girls did freak me out. But after a while, I think after my sixth or seventh club, you know, and you work there 7 nights a week and everyone has a drink and you do feel like at a point, yeah, I'll just walk in. And sometimes you don't even need to audition anymore because you know everyone. You know, you put your little, like, almost like fist into the industry and everyone's like, right, I know who you are now. But yeah, in the beginning, it was nerve-wracking and tough because I'm not naturally very bitchy or catty or like I hate to fight girls. Like, I'm always like, oh, be my best friend, let's be friends. And like that attitude gets you nowhere, like at all. You know, the people walk all over you if they see like an ounce of weakness. So I did have to change my my facade, I guess, acting again. It was just all, even though I'd go home and cry sometimes, you know, like the bullying or like whatever, you know.
But yeah. Has anyone ever pulled any like really nasty pranks on you or anything like that?
Yeah, like I've had fights with girls, like fisticuff, like pulling hair out, like by the throat, jugular, like spitting.
I hate that prank.
It's the worst. Trust me. Even when you've had loads of alcohol, you still it's traumatic. Yeah.
Do they do things like glue your like underwear to your butt crack or something? Like that's the kind of shit. I'm like, what if they put like Nair on the inside of my thong and then all of my genitals burned?
That's a good idea. Never thought of that one. I'm gonna keep that and take that to the strip club next time. No, we had this one girl. I don't know if she'll ever listen to a podcast in her life, but she, I'm a horrible person, called the witch, and she used to like really try her hardest to like, I don't know, like put people off. Like she'd put like chewing gum in people's weaves and like, I don't know, she spat in someone's drink once, or she'd take someone's customer. Like it does get quite catty. Mm-hmm. But I think the older you get, you have to laugh at it really. You know, it's just part of the job, I think.
You were saying earlier that like, you know, it's kind of a system where you're on a conveyor belt and you go in one door one way and you come out the other door and you're, when you're on the other end of it, you're completely different. Do you think that, I find it interesting that you said that, but also that you compared it to acting and performing as well. So it's like, even though you don't have this like catty side of yourself, you can turn that on. You can, you know, you can dial up that character a bit, but like, is it kind of like method acting where if you go too deep, too far, too deep, it might not be good for, you know, your overall well-being? And, you know, did you come out on the other end with a bit more of like a natural catty side to you that might like spring up or spring out without your knowing? Or were you able to compartmentalize and keep it all a separate performance, you know?
I'd like to say the second one, but I would be lying.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to like, it does change you as a person the more you're exposed to that kind of thing. And people have even said to me, you know, like obviously because I'm pretty much speed dating every single night, you meet so many guys and like,
right,
they're all in there for a different reason, you know, like it can go from like, oh, my girlfriend's 8 months pregnant and she won't have sex with me, so will you? I'm like, you're an asshole. But you can't say that, really. Right. So you do see a different side of or women coming in there and they'll be like, oh my, they're just completely bad-mouthing their husband or girlfriend or whatever. It doesn't matter. Like you do see like the best and worst of people. So in my relationships, I think, my personal relationships, I think that has kind of filtered into that too. Not just with my naturally like bitchy self, but I'm a little bit guarded because I'm like, oh, I've heard that one before, or I've heard all that, you know, old chestnut, you know, it's like, oh, you know, you're not just like one of the guys in the club. And so you don't really have a fair playing field when it comes to dating, I don't think, like a normal muggle would,
right.
Just because, you know, you do take it from into your life the experiences that you have, you know, don't you? So I think for me that is probably the kind of worst part about it. I think I wish I was, they say, what's that saying, like would you rather be like ignorant and happy, or like, or you know everything and unhappy? I don't know, like which is it? But sometimes I do think, oh, I just wish I hadn't met one of you before, or 15 or 25 of you before, because I probably would have, you know, given you a go from like Hinge or Tinder or whatever. It's hard to meet people normally, I think. That's the worst bit.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like in your current relationship, even having this podcast at times has been challenging in my romantic relationships. Just because, like, I started this podcast you know, with no responsibility really to anybody else. And I could say whatever I want. I could share as much as I want about my own sex life and like, you know, whatever. And then as soon as I had a significant relationship, it was like, well, now almost everything, I almost have to negotiate everything that I'm going to talk about, because it's now not just about me. And a lot of times that really grated on me the wrong in sort of a negative way, where I was just like, well, it's my right, and you know, I'm in this because I want to be, you know, freedom and not to be censored and etc. So what's it kind of been like in your relationship to sort of navigate your work and life balance, I guess?
I kind of feel exactly the same as you did. Mm-hmm. I feel like that now in a way. Like, I've started this podcast and I do want to talk about everything, because I think, you know, the things I do talk about, it's meant to be, you know, completely sexually inclusive of everyone. You should never be ashamed of who you are. If you're not hurting anyone else and it's consensual, then go for it. Like, we only have one life. And that's kind of like what I'm most, you know, into talking about. But then I have to think about censoring myself and to not hurt another person, and to also respect them and their privacy. I don't show a lot of my face, for instance, on my Instagram, and I don't use my real name. I use my dancer name. And I never mention who the guy I'm dating or the guys I do date, their names. They'll just be like, they'll have like a alias or like some sort of weird thing I'll say about them, right? But with my most serious relationship now, it's kind of like, oh, you know, are you really going to talk about that? Or, oh, I'd appreciate it if you didn't. I'd be like, oh, just like, you have to almost, it's almost like mind bombs. You're like navigating through the, what's going to, you know, turn up next. So I do find that difficult, trying to, you know, express that it is okay to just be yourself, but you do have to bear in mind other people's feelings too. And so it was a lot easier when I was single, probably like how you felt, like you could completely word vomit. But now it's almost like taught me to be a bit more self-aware. And I think that's actually quite important, and like it has been useful to me. Because normally I'm like the girl at the party that's like, anal, let's talk about that. And like, yeah, not everybody's really into talking about anal when they don't know you. Whereas like, so I have become a bit more like, okay, you can't, it's like, you know, veganism, like, don't punch it down someone's throat. Not everybody wants to be a vegan. So it's like, that's how I'm kind of trying to do this podcast. It is difficult though at times. But yeah, I feel exactly the same as you do. 100%.
What is the podcast? Give our listeners a little like little rundown on your podcast and where people can tune in.
Yeah, it's we've got on Instagram. It's called Stripper Stories Podcast, and we're everywhere that podcasts are listened to. So yeah, and we just basically have a different theme each week. I'm having different like guests at the moment. We had a sex psychologist on the last 2 weeks called Dr. Kink. That's not his actual name, but he does talk a lot about lots of weird things about black holes in assholes, and you know, the history of BDSM and S&M and Freud, and like really interesting things like that. And then it goes to like someone talking about having sex with a dead body in a strip club last week, and then him being chucked down. It's quite a broad spectrum of things.
It's a lot. Did you say? I'm pretty sure I just saw the words "having sex with a dead body at a strip club."
Yeah,
all together in okay. Yeah.
Well, wow, I mean, he didn't actually do that, but he did express his kink, which was
like, oh, got you. Oh, which was necrophilia is the kink.
Ted Bundy vibes.
Whoa! Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot. He was like, "Can you just lie still and then just pretend like you're dead?" I'm like, that. It's just, I don't know where this stops here. So, I mean, we do talk a lot about like different mental customer experiences. and, you know, what it's like to work in the industry. So, yeah, come and listen to me. Come and listen to it.
Yeah. Well, those are my favorite types of podcasts. So which is a big part why I wanted to start this one with Bridie, because I want to hear all that weird shit.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
If you like that weird shit as much as I do, go check out Chloe's podcast, Stripper Stories Podcast.
Yes.
Stripper Stories Podcast. That's really awesome. This has been a real treat. It's been really nice to talk to you.
Thank you. And
get a bit of a glimpse into your life and into some of the stuff that you've been a pro at for quite a while. So I want to say thank you for taking the time to sit down and chat with us today. And yeah, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. I was just gonna
thank you guys. No, but kind regards. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me as well. Literally, your podcast like is a vibe over here. We love it. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. That was our conversation with Chloe from Stripper Stories Podcast. I'm saying that right? I'm not fucking that up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right.
Okay, yeah, great. So you should definitely go give them a follow on Instagram, because Chloe is great and we had a lot of fun with her. And go give their podcast a listen. Their podcast is available wherever you find good podcasts. And you know, we're just trying to like spread the love out there in the podcast world. There's lots of people out there grinding their little sweet, sweet, juicy booties to try to get the listeners to listen to them speak about things. And according to their Instagram, they talk. Chloe talks about some really raunchy and fun things, which is right up my alley. So.
Did I tell you that I almost reached out to Chloe last week? Because listeners, you may or may not know this, but Jeremy and I had a live show at a college show, live streamed last week, and in it we played this game that we made up, which is a super fun game, and we'll all play it together sometime soon.
Oh yeah, can't wait.
It's called Urban Fictionary, and it's basically we give you a word and three potential definitions, and you got to pick which one it is. And so one of the words we picked was gorilla mask. Do you remember that, Jeremy?
Yeah, I do remember gorilla mask.
So it's not very nice. It has to do with coming on someone's face and then ripping out their pubic hair and sticking it to their face and then having them be an angry, angry gorilla. That's there. Now you know that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love pranks, but that is a mean prank. And if you're doing those pranks, unless your partner really wants that prank, but unless you're pulling those pranks, you really just shouldn't. That's
the reason
about that.
The reason I bring it up is because, I almost contacted Chloe because while I was looking for the right image to use for that particular word, I googled gorilla mask and tried to find the right image, and I couldn't find it So then I googled pubic hair on face, because that was the closest thing I could think of that would be an accurate image, and it led me to this story published in the Mirror.
I think hold on. Are we going down this road? No, hold on. Let's not go down this road yet, because this is at the end of the podcast. This is what do you call it? A cliffhanger. Because you told me there was a story behind this, and I want to get into it, but I do not. I think we need to start a podcast with this. I don't think this is the way to end it. I think we cliffhanger this and really make the listeners real annoyed and horny for next week by not getting into that right now. So, what do you think about that? Is that okay?
I think that's totally okay, especially because we are. I am now experiencing, even though I'm just upstairs from you, I'm now experiencing quite a significant delay, and it's kind of like you know, when you're having sex and you've already come, and then you're not really in the mood to keep going, but you do also want to give your partner, you know, that oh moment, and so, but you're just kind of you know, it's kind of one of those out of sync moments. So
Yep. Okay, well then, folks, listen, we fucking love you. Honestly, this is like, this podcast is so important to Bridie and I, and we have so much fun doing it. And at really, the fun comes from the fact that we know that you're out there listening. And so thank you. Thanks for doing that. If you want to give us a follow on Spotify, we would love that. Hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Leave a rating and a review, because that's always important. And again, go check out Stripper Stories Podcast and do the same for them. That is it for this week.
It sure is. Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.